Hey guys, it's Dan Weber, FBC for Mathnasium here out of Austin, Texas. We're finishing up June really strong. I know June is one of those busiest months. We've got people coming in with their kids trying to sign up for the program and get started for summer. And I'm hoping you all had a really successful transition to your summer. And today I've got a really special guest on. His name is Jace Ballback. He is an Orange Theory coach as well as a fitness and wellness guru. And he's going to be talking with us today about the importance of rest and whether physical or mental or spiritual or emotional. And he's going to also give us some tips for what to do to get some extra rest over the month of July, because I really want you guys to really take this month of July to focus on getting rest. It's a hard time to sign parents up. People are in full barbecue mode. In some places in Texas, it's too hot to go outside. So really want to focus on being deliberate, and not just deliberate, but like very intentional about getting rest, because this is one of those areas that I always struggle with. And, I like to really maintain my level of fitness. And sometimes that means I'm working out 7 days a week, and that's not right. But so me getting more conscious about level of balance and fitness, and also just that awareness of being able to take time off, not feel guilty about it, because once August comes around, boom, the kids are going to be coming back in, parents are going to be coming back in, and we're going to be back to school, and it's going to be like almost 9 months nonstop until summer. So with that said, we're now going to bring on Jace Ballback. Jace, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Dan.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, so before we get started, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your background? I told them why I want you here, but let's tell them why you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've been in the fitness industry since 2012, and kind of moved into my certified personal training license. So it was more into the kind of individual connection with people. I actually found this industry because I was in a really, a darker time in my life, really seeking something positive and uplifting. And fitness was definitely one of those things that I knew would get me there. And I didn't realize that fitness was such a broad, umbrella. I mean, it embodies, all the four quadrants of health. And I only knew at that time really physical. I knew that physical movement was something that was going to stimulate, overall well-being increase. And so after embarking on that journey, it's just really unfolded into something so beautiful. I went from personal training to boot camp stuff, and then group fitness. So Orange Theory was the first group fitness industry that I got into. And wow, it's just a rock show. And I mean, talking about
side. Everyone listening energy right now is probably like guessing, like, guaranteed Dan knows them from Orange Theory.
Yeah.
Because I always talk about Orange Theory whenever I'm talking in public. So yes, this is one of the trainers from my gym.
Yes. Yeah. So we're in there grinding together.
Yeah.
We take class and I also kick his butt sometimes. After Orange Theory, I started to realize that it was beyond the physical, right? And that there was a mentality to it. There was a spiritual component as well as emotional, hitting on all four quadrants there. So then I embarked on yoga and found that practice, which so just beautifully fit into, a darker time in my life. So it's really interesting how these particular things pop up when we need them most. And now back into group fitness, as well as still practicing and teaching yoga, and just recently working on my holistic health coaching certification. So now I'm diving deeper into the whole nutritional component as well. So that's a little bit of background on kind of my certifications, my path, obviously a lot more to it, but a little bit there.
So why should people be taking the time to be intentional about rest?
Well, I guess the only rest maybe we know is sleep, right?
Right.
Sleep is by far one of the most important, parts of rest. But do we get enough, right? Is kind of the one question I've been seeking, and just in research I've done, podcasts I've listened to, we've heard people say it's 8 hours, right? 8 hours a night. I've kind of been teetering on the edge of like 6 to 8, I think is pretty doable and manageable for some. But, the optimum, rest period for sure when we sleep, right? right? Our body shuts down. We're able to, you know, create those HGH levels, repair the muscle that's been torn up from exercise. But if we don't exercise, I mean, we'll get to that part. But yeah, you know, rest in regards to sleep, totally important. But you know, there's another part of rest that we can do throughout our day as well. You know, we're so involved into just mental stimulation, like constantly throughout the day, right? It's like, okay, what's next? What do I got to plan? How do I got to do this? When is this due? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And so to find mental rest is really devoting some time, whether that's, you know, in the morning before you start your day or maybe in the middle of the day. It could be any point throughout, and it doesn't take a lot of time to really just, you know, quiet and shut down mentally. And that's kind of where we move into the, you know, other quadrant of well-being, which is spiritual, right? So in regards to rest, the spiritual component could be what I've discovered as meditation. Now that word meditation has an interesting context, right? People are like, oh my gosh, there's no way I can meditate. Well, yes, you can, right? You do it like 6 hours a night. everybody meditates. It takes many different forms. And so the first one, if I can, you know, teach and offer anything to you guys, is to just, you know, find some space. You know, maybe that's outside, or, you know, try to get out of the space you spend most of your time in, right? Because there's an energetic presence in the space you spend most of your time. And if that energetic presence is high, right, it's very demanding, it's constantly, you know, firing, well, you got to remove yourself from that situation, right? Our environment shapes a lot in how we can manage rest. And so, you know, you go sit down on a bench, and you can even keep your eyes open or close your eyes, whatever you're comfortable with.
Kind of get quiet.
And just quiet, right? Just quiet down and breathe set a timer for 1 minute and just breathe as deep as you can. And there you go. That's your meditation. That's that moment where you can find some mental rest. And you never know the significance that that can have on the rest of your day. But yeah, just a little something there.
Yeah. So really quick, I just want to recap the importance of during July, you know, it's okay to sleep in. Make sure you're getting a solid 6 to 8 hours. Some of us, you know, we get so, as a former senator director, I can tell you, I'd get home at like sometimes 10 o'clock at night. And I was so wound up from the day that like I didn't even have a chance to eat until 10:30. And then it's like you put on SportsCenter or start watching some Seinfeld or The Office. And it's like your mind is going so fast. And if you're like me, then already you're thinking about tomorrow and you're like, oh my God, I got to bill this. I forgot to do this, or I forgot to do this, and I forgot to do that. And you're like, it's like, I don't take a break. And so it's really important during this month of July, when we know that kind of interest isn't as high as it will be in August or as it is right now in June, to focus on being intentional about getting enough rest. So really make a dedication to yourself to maybe sleep in a little bit later in July. Sleep in a little bit later than you normally would. And then when you're having your coffee or reading a book or tea or water or whatever you do in the morning, take a minute, set a timer for a minute and just sit quietly. Don't think about anything. Try not to think about anything. This will really help you take your day from being reactive and making it more proactive, because instead of waking up and being reactive to emails and text messages and Facebook and Instagram and whatever you're being reactive to, take a minute, set life aside, put your phone down, except for the timer, and just do a minute to just get quiet.
Yeah.
And then when you come out of that, you'll be able to respond, some of you will notice a huge difference right away. So that's pro tip number one.
Absolutely.
And pro tip number two. So sleep in and try meditating for a minute before the day gets going, because as a center director, it runs really fast.
Right. And just to hit on a few notes there,
sure.
Jen, you know, with the whole meditation thing too, I know the label can sometimes create an experience, right? If it helps you, don't even call it meditation, right? Just kind of sit and
dance quiet time.
Yeah. Or whatever your name is, yeah. Quiet time, right? And Dan brought up a really good point, right? On not being reactive, right? When you come from that place of stillness, you're able to respond in a much more clear and present and intentional way, instead of, like Dan was saying, being reactive. So a great way to start your morning for sure is to find that kind of mental, you know, tranquility, right? To, you know, just really come from that place of stillness. And if you do think and, you know, whatever, that's okay. But just to focus on some breath, and can offer, you know, a few breath practices as well.
Yeah.
Once we kind of get into this, but yeah.
All right. So we've covered some of the spiritual, some of the physical, I think, with sleeping.
Yeah,
there's more physical we could touch on with that. Totally. Just kind of what's the importance of being active?
So that way you can rest.
So that you can rest. Exactly. Setting aside time to work out or hike or swim or whatever it is that you love to do. Mm-hmm. What kind of an impact does that have on your body's chemistry internally? It's not just about burning calories always.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it's just about getting the juices flowing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, our nervous system is a great thing to speak about here because when we're exercising, generally speaking, when we're living out a majority of our day, we are in the sympathetic nervous system. So that's more of like our fight or flight, right? We're on the go, we're stimulated, we're in constant survival mode. And what that's doing is putting stress on the body. And sometimes this can be negative stress, right? But when we're moving physically, regular exercise, bike, swim, whatever it might be, that is more like of a self-induced stress, one that has a positive effect on the body. So, decipher the difference between the two stresses that you are embarking on. And with that, it's going to help you, relax as well. I mean, if you've ever had a really tough workout and maybe you go home or to work, I mean, sometimes you feel like beat, right? And, that kind of helps you in that mode of getting more sleep and potentially like a midday nap if that's something that's available to you. But physical exercise definitely has that component of, being in that sympathetic nervous system, but then taking some time to move into our parasympathetic nervous system where we're allowing the body to, rest and digest, to slow down, to calm down, allowing it that repair mode.
So before we started this, you were talking to me about how kind of one, they don't all exist kind of maybe on the, they're kind of on the same plane, but they're not all at the same time.
Yeah.
And so in one way, how can this physical quadrant kind of transition your way into a different mental perspective or this mental quadrant, having like a physical, once you're being after, what's the difference between someone's mindset without working out versus taking some time to go for a walk or do something exerting?
Totally. It all varies depending on the person for sure. But there is something to be said. My dad, he is a corporate leader and is in a very high stress environment. And he actually uses running as a tool to clear the mind. He says he runs out the poison is kind of his philosophy. And when he doesn't run, he really gets caught up mentally. He gets, full in that mental, blockage. He's not as clear. He's not as just effective in the way he can live life. So, physical movement can absolutely be clearing for the, mentality.
Yeah. There's other things you can do besides physical working out just for your mental mindset, though. There's things like reading or, admiring artwork or maybe you like to watch. I just watched a documentary the other day about this Rich Cronin guy who's like a CrossFit legend. There are other things you can do to kind of feed your brain. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here with a book in front of me, two books in front of me. One's called The Amazement Revolution by Shep Hyken.
Ooh, this looks cool.
Yeah, this is an awesome book about customer service. I recommend any of you pick this book up and read it. It's a bunch of short stories about how people in their respective industries went above and beyond. And I think there's a lot of things in here that you can take and turn into a mathnasium idea for your business. And so, or whatever business, whatever other business that is, for people who aren't a part of Mathnasium that are listening, or if you're a student that's an instructor and you're listening, there's a lot of good mojo in this book that you can take. And so I like to read a little bit out of it each day just to kind of keep my mind always building and growing and learning something new. And the other part for me mentally, personally, is I just started this new, Jace was talking about the wellness of eating. And so I've embarked on this journey for a fitness challenge where it's not about losing weight for me anymore. It's more about changing those habits that will create a cleaner, a better lifestyle. And so I've embarked on this whole go green kind of eat clean initiative.
Go green or go home.
Go green or go home. And so, Jace and his wife Shelby have offered up these new recipes. And so for me recently, mentally, cooking's been a big mental outlet for me. Yeah. And because when I'm cooking, I'm like thinking about cutting stuff and chopping stuff and not cutting my fingers and focused on cooking. And that's kind of become a good mental outlet for me. So let's see, we've kind of gone through the physical, mental, and I'd say the spiritual. So let's dive into the one that is almost like the hardest one to talk about,
but emotional.
And I think one of the most important parts of this emotional quadrant is I know someone's listening to this where they're like, oh crap, he's going to say it. And you're right, I'm going to say it. But there are people in our lives that like we shouldn't be interacting with.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you like... probably all are thinking of one right now. You're like, it's my brother or it's my sister, right? It's always the people that are family that we like we should not be interacting with because sometimes they're so negative. And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, Dan, I mean, the thing is, it's not us, right? We're not the ones, right?
Yeah, no. We have, yeah, there's no, it's not my fault.
It's always the other person, right?
But, How does your emotional health play into rest? And I have a few things to say about this, but what's your opinion?
Man, I mean, I guess it would be kind of defining what that would be for you, because you know, emotion wise, and how it affects your life. I guess it kind of comes down to the mentality as well, right? Because as we think, it kind of creates the feeling of the body as well, yeah. Right? When we're thinking something negative, like our body resonates with that and it has a resonating experience. And, you know, if you're depression, for example, you can, if you were to look at somebody who is positive, living life in a very just optimistic view, they are, and you saw them walking down the street, somebody who's optimistic, living life to the fullest, and then somebody who's depressed and can't get out of this like negative thought mentality, you would see a postural difference, mm-hmm. Right? The body truly resonates that way. You know, shoulders slump forward, you're looking down if you're depressed, or you know, maybe, and then you're running tall, right? Your shoulders are back, chin lifted. And so with the emotions, you, number one, want to be aware of how you are thinking, right? And the most important part that I've learned from this, you know, yogic philosophy is non-judgment, right? There's this, I believe, niyama or yama in the eight-limb path that talks about doing no harm to yourself. And that can be taken, you know, literal. You know, you obviously don't want to do physical harm, and that can come in the way of, you know, how you eat and, you know, maybe even to the extreme of physically harming yourself. But also, you know, emotional harm, what thoughts you're having, because if you are being hard on yourself, right, if you are not giving yourself grace to make mistakes, if you are just constantly saying, I'm a failure, I'm an idiot, whatever it is, I mean, you are going to continue to create habits in that pattern of thinking, and that can disrupt your sleep cycle for sure, right? If you're laying in bed and you're just like thinking about all the things that you did wrong today, I mean, how the hell are you going to go to sleep, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you have a blissful sleep if you're in that thought pattern? And so you have to learn to rewire the way that you think as well. So your challenge, right, is one, become aware of your thoughts. Two, practice ahimsa, which is non-judgment, to not judge the thoughts, just see them as they are. And then three, refine the thoughts. You know, okay, well, dang, I was actually really hard on myself there. Okay, well, now I recognize it. Okay, now it's time to refine it. You know, you did good. You know, you give yourself those positive, reaffirming thoughts. And I'll tell you this much, the most positive and optimistic and loving people in this life probably sleep the best.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
You just touched on something that I really want to bring up, because you and I have had, and Shelby have had conversations about this, but we've got convention coming up and it's going to be like 3 days in Canada, Toronto. Yeah. And there's going to be some decadent food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, I'm very strict with my regimen and I try not to diverge too far from the path, but one of the things that you and Shelby talked to me about was like that being that take it easy, like be mm-hmm. forgiving of yourself if you kind of steer off the diet, you don't,
right.
Because that creates a lot of anxiety as well.
Absolutely.
And your wife shares this study about, you know, it's almost like if you're on some sort of diet plan or if you're on some sort of program or some sort of quote regimen, and we're there and you know you don't have the foods you're used to eating, or you're unable to get the exercise because you're so busy absorbing everything from 1,000 people, you know, it's okay. Take a breath. It's okay. Be intentional about it. Be like, this is my purpose. My purpose is to be here in the moment. These other things will continue when I get back. And if you have something like French fries and gravy that you're not, which is accustomed to the Canadian, but not to your regular, yeah, just like bring back some. And no, but you know, like enjoy that moment as you pass through it, but don't start to beat yourself up for it, because that extra anxiety from that is almost more harmful than the food itself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that creates stress, right? And that
yeah.
stress, I mean, as you know, those of us listening, has very, very negative effects, right?
So I think so to sum all these four quadrants up, the goal is to have these four quadrants in balance so that maybe you do get 6 hours of rest a night, but it's not a good 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe these things keep you up between the hours of, you know, 12 and 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Something might be out of turn. Maybe maybe you're not getting enough physical exercise, or you're not expanding your mind enough, or you're not spiritual enough, or you've got some negative relationships or people that keep you up at night, because all it takes for them to do is give you one look or say one comment, and you, like, you've got 15 resentments right there. Like, I can't believe they said that to me. And that keeps you up all night, right? So it's not about, maybe we don't need to sleep longer, but we need to sleep better.
Yeah.
And let's be intentional about doing the things that give you energy this month of July. Like, for me, it's Orange Theory and eating well and hanging out with good people like Jace and his wife and other people from Orange Theory. It's kind of like, we're not a cult. I know we sound like a cult, but we're not
a
cult.
Do Orange Theory.
Do Orange Theory. Mention promo code. Yeah. But,
and I do have one more thing too.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It actually just came to me. So, cause my wife actually has been having trouble sleeping, and you know, one thing, you know, I think she does pretty well on the physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, quadrants, you know? But the one thing that, she has been practicing more of is actually, creating a nighttime ritual. So there's this, and make sure you have like blackout curtains, right? Like, we live in this apartment complex that just has these crazy lights that shine through. And so
it's bright in Texas.
It's bright in Texas, right? So to make sure, one, the room you sleep in is dark, right? Two, it's cold, right? Those two things, just from what I've learned, help us sleep better. But then the ritual before you sleep, like for my wife and I, we, there's no TV before we go to bed, because that sort of light affects the way that we hit REM sleep. Also our phones, right? Phone minimum 30 minutes before you go to bed. I've heard studies say like two to four hours before you go to bed for optimum sleep.
That's tough in this day and age, man.
That's tough in this day and age, right? Yeah, we gotta continue to swipe left.
Why don't we start with 3 minutes?
Three minutes,
then we'll go from there.
Right? But just give yourself ample time before bed, so that way you can really, you know, come to that, you know, place of stillness. You're not influenced by the emails, the texts, the Instagram, you know, things like that.
Yeah, put it down. Yeah, don't allow yourself to get wrapped up in something at 10 o'clock at night.
Exactly, yeah, not worth it, right? You got to create the boundaries, separate work, all of that. But to also, like, we make tea before we go to bed.
Yeah.
Right? And so that kind of warm tea, you know, anything warm, I think, has like a soothing and very calming effect.
What are we talking? Chamomile? Earl Grey?
Oh, dude, I mean, it's a Tulsi lemon.
Okay.
It's nice. And, you know, tea also, there's an association, right? Like, if you've ever used essential oils, it's a kind of placebo, right?
That, those,
like,
are good too.
Those are good too, right?
Yeah, so, a little lavender on the wrist.
That's what I'm saying, right? So you can do that, right? Before bed, the association, if you do lavender before bed and be like, okay, this association now is going to create a calming effect and it's going to help me sleep. If you mentally begin to believe in that, then it's going to happen, right? Placebo is a very, very effective tool in conditioning ourselves.
You could just buy Victoria's Lavender Sweet Dreams linen spray too.
I got it right here. On sale for $19.99.
All right, cool. So that's it, you guys. Really want you to, before we cut away, Jace, why don't you tell us, how do you rest? What do you do to stay healthy in these quadrants?
Man, so exercise daily for sure. I exercise, read daily, those two things. And it's easy for me to rest. I mean, since the day I was born, my mom was like, oh my God, you're just the best baby. You know, you always took the longest naps and things like that. So I think I've always been conditioned to be a well-rested person. And it's very easy for me to stay calm and not be moved by, you know, external circumstances. And that's the other thing that I've had to put a lot more practice with, is creating boundaries as well, right? The moment I get home and I'm with my wife and dog, I'm with my wife and dog. I don't check my phone, no emails, right? So it's to create that separation of work and home. It really helps me rest. It gives me that place of mental clarity. I also have a meditative practice that I do 20 minutes a day, where I sit and I actually have my own little thing that I run through. But breath will help you rest. When you work on your exhalation, right? I try to take as many deep breaths throughout the day as I can, and that will help you move into that parasympathetic nervous system we talked about earlier in this podcast. So, you know, a few things, right? Breathe deep throughout the day, create boundaries, and then also create a nighttime kind of regimen, right? Something that you're habitual in, that you do every night. Yeah, and just whatever that is for you, but create something that will create that well-rested state.
Yeah, I heard a study where it's like, watching TV before bed, you shouldn't watch it in bed.
Right.
Because it associates that's not going to bed.
Right.
And it makes it harder to fall asleep. So like, watching TV from a different perspective, whether a couch or in a different room, and then going to bed. And then you mentioned something earlier. What do you mean about the boundaries you just brought up?
Yeah, so boundaries, because as we know, like if we have an Apple Watch, we're constantly ding, 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 right? Gotcha. Even text messages. I actually throw my phone on airplane mode, you know, the hour or so before bed. So I don't even get texts. I mean, I turn the Wi-Fi off, like nothing can.
He disconnects.
As I get a text message right there.
Hey, so this brings up a really great point, you guys.
Yeah.
This is the pro tip number three. So we got pro tip number one, sleep in this month. Pro tip number two, try meditating for a minute in the morning. And pro tip number three, pass off your phone or your center phone or some of those duties to an assistant director or a center director or a lead instructor. Pass some of your duties off to someone else this month of July because there's not a lot happening. Interest, like I said, isn't as high as it normally will be in June or in August and September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. You guys catching my point there? It's going to be like 9 months nonstop. So take some time to, if you're going to convention, you know, pass your phone off to someone else. Or if you have a center phone, have someone else answer it. Or have like a lead instructor or assistant director or center director, you know, respond to emails when you go home or over the weekends. Have someone else take on some of these duties on your behalf so that you can really do as Jace does, which is unplug and get that quality time. I mean, if I were to go on vacation tomorrow, I'd take my phone and I'd probably not really get a vacation because I'd be still answering your guys' emails because I have trouble unplugging from work. And so that's something that I need to be more conscious about. But all right, do you got any more tips before we wrap this up?
I don't know. I think that 1 minute meditation sounds great in the morning. And literally, guys, that'll be like 5 deep breaths and the minute will be done.
Yeah, it goes fast, you guys.
It goes so fast.
You're probably laughing about it right now, but you got to try it. Some of you will be doing 3 minutes by convention.
Yeah, that's right. Some of you might even have a long beard and white hair. Yeah. Become a swami.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Jace, thank you so much for joining us today, man. Really appreciate having you on.
Of course. Yeah, thank you.